Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church. Let us open our service with a word of prayer.
Yes, good morning again. I'm glad to see that everybody got here on time this morning, right? I don't think anyone was here an hour early, right? Okay, great. Well, let's begin our service then by giving God some thanks. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for all of the wonderful things you do for us, for the things you do for this congregation. We have had to say goodbye to a couple of our family members this week. We know they're with you, but surround their families with your love. We still have people on our prayer list who need your help. Please be with them. Whatever be your will, give them peace and comfort. We are so thankful once again for all of the blessings that you do for us, and the best one was giving us your son, and we pray in his name. Amen. Once again, great way to begin a service, right? I usually start, first of all, I want to thank Patty Tanis for filling in last week for me and doing such a great job. But I like to start with a story or some parable or maybe even a scripture. But this morning, it's a story that I think will resonate with the Catholics that we have here. We have several who are ex-Catholic or not excommunicated, but right. It's a story about a nun. There was an old nun living in a convent next to a construction site, and she noticed that the men there had coarse language, so she decided to spend time to correct their ways. She decided that she would take her lunch and sit with them, so she put a sandwich in a brown paper bag and walked over to the spot where the men were having their lunch. Sporting a big smile, she walked up to the group and said, "Do any of you here know Jesus Christ?" They looked bewildered, shook their heads, looked at each other, and they were all confused. And then one worker looked up on the scaffolding, and he looked up there and yelled out, "Hey, anybody there up there know Jesus Christ?" And they went, "No, why?" "'Cause his mother's here with his lunch." All right, and on that note, let's all stand and sing our first hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
All hail the power of Jesus' name, that angels Saw the sunrise this morning. Uh-huh. What y'all think? Is it looking good? I don't know. It was a short-lived one. I know we have some new visitors here, Rosetta and Ron and Robin. Would you like to stand and tell us where you're from and what brought you here and how long you lived here? And
that's a lot to remember. We're Ron and Robbie Brown. We moved in around the end of June. So we haven't found a church in that neighborhood, so we thought we'd try this one.
It's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, welcome. And Rosetta, where are you? Do you get those jokes about Rosetta Stone? I'm sure you do, right? Yeah. I would never say that. Again.
Again. I'm Rosetta Stocking. My husband's not here because he's blind. And we just moved here in May.
Oh, wow. Great. Well, welcome, both all of you. That's really, really great. Pictures are going to be taken. Oh, yes, and your daughter, Pat Cox's daughter. Yes, daughter. Even though you've been here before, but that's okay. Yeah.
I live in Larkspur. Spending the night of the day with my mom again.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Well, We welcome back Mary Ellen Rogers. My goodness, it's been a while. You know, she broke her arm, and she's back here today. And the Marshalls are back from their travels, and I don't know if you're leaving again or what. You know, you are. Yes, I see that head shaking. And Dan Johnson, it's so great to see you, too. You've been away for a while, and looks like you're doing pretty darn good. So you bet. Pictures are going to be taken right after church. So if you want your picture in the book, please go back and see Kay Hayes, and she's going to get your picture taken, and you're going to go into our directory. So, is this thing okay?
This is the last week.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Lucille Franson fell, so Bonnie was getting her to. Bonnie, do you need some help with her?
Well, the man across the street's helping me. Thank
you. Okay.
I'm going to go back to
her. Okay. Great. Lucille Franson fell, and so she was on her way to church today. So, and today's your last day for the pictures. I heard that, too. So, any birthdays and anniversaries? Seriously? Wow. That's amazing. I can't believe it. All these people, we don't have any birthdays or anniversaries. Wow. Choir is this Thursday. So the new people, if you sing, and even if you don't sing, it's okay, you know? You're welcome to come to choir. We're doing Christmas music, and it's really going to be beautiful. You're just going to love it. Ladies' Bible study is November the 10th. It's going to be at 8:30. We start at 8:30 with refreshments and talking and conversation and that sort of thing. Bible study will start at 9 o'clock. We'll be meeting at our house. We're back to our home again. So 9 o'clock, and we're studying the women of the ladies of the Bible. And so this week we're going to be doing Lot, and you Lot's wife. What was Lot's wife's name?
Mrs. Lot.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Lotsa. Yeah.
Lotsa.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Co-ed Bible study is going to be November the 4th, which is this coming Tuesday, and the 25th for this month only. The 18th, we're having dinner with friends, and Jim Shook, yay, is going to be giving us his story on the Antarctica. So please sign up for that. Today, if you can, so I can let them know, today and next week as well. So Jim Shook is going to be talking, which is really going to be great. Ladies' Luncheon, November the 17th, and again, if you're new into the community, we have a ladies' luncheon once a month, and it's at our house, And someone will give their story, their life story. The person who's giving her story hasn't been around for a while. I hope she remembers, but I'll remind her. And it's just a wonderful time of fellowship and great time that we get together for everyone and getting to know each one. And that's at our house as well. November the 8th, Jim Shook is going to continue his story, which I knew it wasn't going to get done on that day. That's going to be at our house as well. And dinner with friends, I mentioned that already. Jim will tell his story. And please sign up for the all-church dinner that we're doing on December the 14th. This is really a wonderful time for us all to get together. Sign up for that. It's in the back. The cost to you is $10 the person. And we're going to have a really wonderful dinner. It's going to be held here in the Antero room. And prayer pillows this morning. You saw all the prayer pillows in the back. Prayer pillow ladies, can you put that slide? Yeah, thank you. We have, it's just really great. I can't begin to tell you Lois Ragland. She is so amazing. She did the banners for our Christmas banners. You should see them. I got goosebumps. They were so beautiful. Oh, we were working on the banners, and we're working on the Thanksgiving banners, you know, that we have. So we're going to go over Monday and finish them up on what they're doing. But these were all the ladies that were there last week. At Linda's home. And Linda made some beautiful soup, and yes, you will get those recipes, Karen. So, anyway. And the prayer pillows in the back are for all the military men and women who are in the service. So go back, say a prayer. If those are one of your children or grandchildren, rather, please take that prayer pillow home with you today so that the others will mail out as well. And also, if you know anyone in the community that is sick and they feel that can use a prayer pillow, it's not just for our church, it's for this whole community. And we already know what wonderful, wonderful things, you know, the prayer pillow does. I got this card from your friend, Pat Cox, Gary Nettleton, and it says, "Dear Pat and H," it's H-E-C-C, but I think he means H-E-B. "I want to thank you for the pillow you made for me. What a great gift, and I clung to it during my darkest days. I'm doing better now, and know it was from all the many prayers, which meant more than you'll ever know. Thank you again for your kindness." And thank you, guys. This is really wonderful. And we also got a thank you card from our dear friend, Tom. Yes, sir.
I would like to say I got one, too.
Oh.
And thank you very much.
Well, you're very, very welcome. It's just a wonderful gift, and it was a great ministry that we have here, and it's just fabulous. And this is from Tom, and it says, "Dear EBCC congregation, thank you so much for the gift card. We look forward to having a nice dinner date. I'm sorry, Tom.
My handwriting is terrible.
It is. Yeah, you're right. We both feel incredibly blessed to have become a part of your community." Oh, thanks, Tom. That's so sweet. Gosh darn. Well, we feel blessed to have you here, too. All right. Tom Blackwell. So, prayer requests. Go back to Ellie again because she's back, but she's sick. We got an email this morning as I was leaving, and she has stomach issues. So you can send your prayer request to Ellie. Okay, that's it. Next week is our church anniversary. Can you believe that? 8 years? It's amazing. I know. It's really wonderful. And it's all because of a lot of you here. Who were here in the beginning? Yeah. Yeah. And that was about it, too. So.
I actually have a story to tell about the prayer pillows. I had one for my dad and for my friend Patrice, and I wasn't sure what kind of box to put them in to take them to the post office, so I just took them in the bag. And I got in there, and the lady helping said, "Is that one of the prayer pillows?" And I said, "Yes, I was trying to decide what box." He says, "Well, we just mailed one earlier, about an hour earlier, and I was asking whoever it was that was that if they would bring one back. But you've here an hour later, and you're here with yours." So she took pictures of the pillow front and back, and also of the bag. because she would like for her church to start it. But she says, I will say something, and the pastor will say, well, then you do it. She says, but I can't even sew. So somebody will. So the prayer pillow, I mean, ministry is ministering to a lot of people out there. Thank you. So let's just go in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to come here in our community to worship you, to praise you, to have fellowship with other believers, and also, Lord, to have fellowship with those who perhaps are just seeking to know who you are. Father, we lift up this time especially to you, this November 2nd, as you know, I would imagine this congregation has already turned in their ballot for voting, but if they had not, Father, I would ask that you would encourage them to do so. Father, we lift up this election to you. Father, we know that Scripture says that we get the leaders that we deserve. To me, that's a very humbling and frightening position. So, Lord, I'm asking, Father, that this congregation take it to heart to be in prayer over this time of the election, that we would lift up our leaders, that we would lift up those that are that you've given the opportunity to vote. And, Father, we do stand against any voter fraud that seems to be a problem here in Colorado because of the early voting and the ballots that are mailed out. But, Lord, we know that you are in control, and we just thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this election to provide for our country. Father, we lift up our children that are in school during this time. And, Father, all the issues that are coming at them with the Common Core curriculum. Lord, my heart breaks for what these children are being taught. And we ask, Father, that you would speak to our children and our grandchildren, that they would be coming against any issues that are not from you, that their children would be protected. And Father, I thank you too for the service our congregation has with military families here. I thank you, Lord, for these prayer pillows that are going out to these young men and women, that they will know that they are being thought of and that they are being prayed for daily. Lord, we lift up our church service today as Bruce brings the message. Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what the Lord is telling us, that you would also give us minds to remember the message, that we would have the ability to go back and ponder this week on the message that you have for us through Bruce. We just ask your blessings on Bruce as he leads us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We just celebrated Halloween, or I don't know if celebrate's the right word, but today our next hymn is going to be for All Saints Day. So please stand and join with me as we sing for all the saints.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 32 through 38. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I had coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship.
As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, would you stand and join with me in singing the doxology?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Be seated.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this church, for now close to 8 years, serving you in many, many ways, doing your will. And we give you thanks for our offerings this morning, which we give to you in very a happy way of giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
How great.
Thank you. The Wurtz Family Singers. That's
we're
what
not,
they are.
We're not the worst, are we?
The Wurtz.
Oh, worst.
The Wurtz Family Singers. At least 50% of them, there are two more at home. One plays the trumpet, I understand.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll wait a while for that. There's some things that you like to do and some things that you don't like to do. When I was a kid, one thing I hated to do was to mow the lawn. We didn't have a big yard in New York City. You know, they were small yards, but still it had to be done with a push mower. So that was a tough job. And whenever my dad said it was time to mow the lawn, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Well, the sermon this morning is on Christian giving or tithing. Now, don't all get up and leave because we've locked the doors. Well, it's not my favorite topic, but right up front, I'm not going to interject it inside of a sermon, but it's going to be about the information that you need about your heart, what Jesus says about giving, and what this church is all about. We rarely take time to talk about the subject of tithing. In fact, over these last 8 years, I have presented close to 400 sermons. Only two of them were on tithing. And they all said, amen. Well, this is the right time to do it. This is the giving time of year and the first time in a long time that we're in jeopardy of falling short of our budget. In fact, every year we have met our budget the last minute at the finish line. But we are short this year. But what does God say about Christian giving? Well, if nothing matters, God's word matters. When you give in the way that God gives, it will change your life. It has changed my life, that's for sure. And when this happens, you will never be the same again. Well, Jesus talks about money a lot. In fact, in the Bible, the whole Bible, money, talking about money and valuable things is mentioned more than 2,000 times in the Bible. In fact, Jesus talked about money more than he did about salvation. Isn't that amazing? In the New Testament, money is mentioned more often than heaven and hell. That's surprising. So I guess it's important. It took a lot of money to support Jesus. He even had a treasurer. We have a treasurer too. Where is he? Where's our treasurer? There's our treasurer over here. But he's not in the same category as Jesus' treasurer, is he? I hope not. Who knows who Jesus' treasurer was?
Judas.
Yes. Well, we have Dennis. what a great deal that is, that's for sure. Well, the missionary travels of St. Paul went about 15,000 miles over his lifetime. Amazing how far he traveled, and that was a big, large ticket for his entourage. There were no frequent flyer miles in those days, that's for sure. A very large amount. In the 21st century, we must support the servants of the gospel and the ministries that reach to reach and comfort people, because I can look out here and I can see people who have been reached and touched. I came across something funny. The property laws of a toddler. You know toddlers, you know your great-grandkids, kids are your grandkids. I don't think any of our kids are toddlers, are they? I doubt it. Okay, the first one. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, you know, that's mine. If I'm building something, all the pieces are mine, even though I don't need them all. You can't have them. If it looks like mine, yeah, it's mine, you know. If I saw it the first time, it's mine. Never mind if you have it in your hand. If I saw it first, it is mine, and I'm going to get it. And if it's broken, it's yours. Well, it's human nature to stake out a claim as to what is ours, even if we get a white knuckle grip on it. Well, the two pieces of good news I have about you. God understands your struggles with money, and we all do have those struggles with money from time to time. We've had lots of struggles in our lifetime, that's for sure. And secondly, God blesses us when we let go of our financial grip trying to hold on to what is ours. There are two key principles that apply to this sermon. It's not about money. It's about God. It's not what God wants from you. It's what God wants for you. It's not what God wants from you. It's what God wants for you. Well, the text comes, thank you, Dan, for reading from the last part of Paul's farewell message to the church in Ephesus. He was leaving on his journey to go to Rome where he's going to be beheaded and lose his life. He didn't know that for sure, but he knew that things were not very good. And he ends with these stirring words. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. Where is that in the Bible? Nowhere. There's in the Gospels, there's nowhere is that written down. Nowhere. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But it's the authentic word of Christ because Paul got it from the oral record that was passed down. And on the surface, it appears that it's more blessed to receive, to give than to receive. It's a paradox. It runs counter to the wisdom of the world, doesn't it? If you give something away, you lose it according to the world. If you give it away, you lose it. If you keep something, it's yours forever, like the little toddler. The world says gaining is winning, giving is losing. But Jesus turns the world wisdom upside down and says it's more blessed to give than receive. We gain by what we give away, don't we? It's important for us to realize the most important word is more. It is more blessed to give than receive. How often have you bought a gift for somebody and you're just so excited about giving that gift to that person, you can't wait for the birthday or the holiday or the Christmas or the anniversary to come around because that gift, you just can't wait to give. Look at the giving and receiving as experienced in our pillow ministry back there. It's amazing. Everyone who has been touched by this pillow ministry knows what that means, that's for sure. One of the pillows was for a friend of the church, Jeannie LeMajor. I couldn't find her. I looked in the directories. I did a search on the internet. Finally, I put an announcement in Nextdoor, and you all ought to belong to Nextdoor because it's a great source. And finally, somebody called me back and said, I know where she is, and she's at Stonegate. Over on Pine and Chambers Road. So I took the pillow to her. She attends the church once in a while. She's a good Roman Catholic, like many of us are. We attend the church on occasion. And when she saw that pillow, she's dying of throat cancer, her eyes lit up and she smiled. And she said, I smiled for the first time in a long time. A tough battle. Her eyes lit up, she smiled, and just was radiant as best she could. The blessing of giving. And she was able to receive in a way that was wonderful. Great gifts are realized in the making of the gift, the giving of the gift, and the receiving. Well, some people don't like to be beholden to another. I remember when I met my wife for the first time in December of 1994. So then she took a trip to Houston. And then when I met her, she kind of rattled off her phone number, and I remembered it because I'm a guy about numbers. I know all about, I can remember numbers like that. So I remembered her phone number. So she said, I'm getting back on such and such a day in January. I'm getting in on the 1 o'clock plane. So at 3 o'clock, I called her home, and she was just walking in the door, and she answered the phone. And I said, how about going out for dinner? She said, no, just a cup of coffee. It's just coffee, that kind of thing. Well, I said, no, you've got to eat. You've been on a plane all day. She said, okay. So I said, where should we go? Well, she said, not too far from my home is a place called the Italian Fisherman. Anybody ever been there? It's been closed for a number of years, but you guys have been there. So I wanted to, so what a thoughtful guy I was. It's close to your home. I'm going to buy you dinner. She bought the cheapest thing on the menu because she didn't want to be in debt to me, that's for sure. And the rest is history, that's for sure. Well, the hardest things to do when you're out to dinner with somebody and they want to pay the bill and you want to pay the bill, how do you handle that? It's in giving and receiving. It's tough. Why did Jesus say this? How is giving more blessed than receiving? Well, there are three answers to that. First of all, giving delivers us from ourselves. It opens us up. It cracks our heart. Giving forces us to think about the needs of others. It opens the heart to the whole world, because in giving, you're branching out. Secondly, giving frees us from the gift of materialism. Listen to 1 Timothy. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Well, money is not, there's nothing wrong with money, that's for sure. Money is morally neutral. Money is not good or evil. It depends what you do with it. It is a tool. Well, I've heard very few people on their deathbed say, thank God for my money. I hear people on their deathbed say, thank God for my God, my Lord, my wife, my family. Dying people thank people for the important things of life. Sometimes we're asked about the departed, especially if you're close to the person. How much did he leave? And the answer is all of it. That's for sure. Third, giving us frees us from the burden of depending on money to make us happy. Well, if you feel tied to something, give it away, and you'll be released. Deaccumulate. How many boxes do we have in our house that have not been opened for 10 years? Not many, but some. But there are some boxes we haven't opened for 10 years. It's not wrong to own a new car, but what if it owns you? It's not wrong to own a second home, but what if it owns you or anything? If it owns you, it's not worth it. There's only so much that one person can do. We can give 100% of what we have, and we can't feed the world, but with all the churches in the world coming together, with our church coming together, with the 40 or 50 or I think we have 70 people here this morning, coming together and putting their offerings together, we do a tremendous amount of work. Like coals on a charcoal grill, I've mentioned this before. You want a charcoal grill to last for a long time, keep those coals together. You want them to die, spread them apart. That's why we have a church, to come together to serve others. I give, you give, we give, the mountain begins to grow, and we serve others, and we really meet their needs, that's for sure. Listen to Luke 6:38. As Jesus spoke to the multitudes on the side of the hill, he said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, press down, shake it down, running over, and put into your lap, for the measure you will use will be measured back to you. When God blesses us for our giving, His blessing is more, different, and better. When we hoard what we have, our hands are full, aren't they? When we hoard what we have, our hands are full, and God can't put anything in our hands because they're full. But when we give away what we have, then God is free to bless us. I believe that God does for us, He does things amazingly for us when we give, and Betty and I know that for sure, because we have been blessed beyond what we can even imagine. And I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel. That is not the gospel. What He gives to us is eternal wealth and spiritual blessings. Well, giving brings us closer to God. How does this happen? It makes us imitators of God. God is the person who gives. And when we imitate God, we are made in His likeness. And when we imitate Him, we become more like God. Nothing is more natural than God to give, because in John 3:16, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. If God did not give us anything, we would not be here if He didn't give us our life, if He didn't give us our Christ. You will never be more like God than when you give. You will never be more like God than when you give. That's not hard to do, is it? Secondly, giving causes us to share in His delight. We know that God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Greek word in the text is that God loves a hilarious giver. You know, really hilarious giver. I love to give. Wow, that's when you sit down and write that check, right? Hilariously, I'll write that check, that's for sure. God takes a great delight in being God. Don't you think when God gave, He created the universe. He made everything. Don't you think he was very happy when He made an armadillo or a caterpillar or a mountain? When we take delight in the Lord and by giving to his ministry, He takes delight in giving to us. When we give, we put ourselves in the place where God can bless us. Think of the benefits of giving. You know, when we give sacrificially, when it means something, when your giving is part of your financial pocketbook, you relieve the needs of others. You inspire others to join us. We improve our own soul. Generous giving brings glory to the Lord because of what we can do. But it cannot buy the things of the Spirit. Money cannot buy the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, hope, forgiveness. It can't buy courage or loyalty. Sometimes the passion for money becomes an addiction. Maxie Jarman, who was president and chief executive officer of Genesco Shoe Company before his death in 1976, he loved to give. He served for a time on the board of Billy Graham's Evangelical Association. And as with many entrepreneurs and big businessmen, he had many setbacks. As he struggled to put his life back together, a friend said, "Have you regretted giving all that money away, which you could have had? And all that money you gave away over the years?" He said, "Oh, no. I only lost what I kept for myself. What I gave away was with others." Sometimes we are afraid to give and share. But can God trust me with money? And Luke 16:10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much." We like to play the what-if game. What if I had $1 million? What would I do? If I had more, I would give more. That reminds me of a bumper sticker. It says, "Lord, please give me the chance to prove that winning the lottery won't ruin my life." How often that happens? Why? Hard to say. Jesus, while he was watching the Pharisees and the rich people pour money into the treasury, he turned and said to the widow who had 2 copper coins, "Your giving is more beneficial and more worthy than all that money was being poured into the treasury." The question is, what are you doing with God, with what God has given you? Do I trust God more than money? The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Remember, it's not about money, it's about faith in the living God. This is your congregation. This is not mine, it's not Betty's, it's not the board's, it's yours. We make up the congregation. The first place for comfort and support is our congregation. Why do people come? They are served by those who are in need. I can look around this congregation, except for the visitors. I've touched everyone in this congregation one time or another, or Betty has, or our care ministry has touched every single person in this congregation once or twice. Our church is here not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, and we are called all the time. In the last 6 months, we have lost some very substantial givers, moving away, moving into assisted living, and moving into the kingdom of heaven. We still have substantial givers, and we have people who now go beyond and above, and blessing to you, and please don't stop. That's for sure. I'll give you some facts about the finances of the church, and later on in December, early December, Dennis Marshall is going to be presenting a more in-depth financial report about the congregation. We have a budget of $10,000 a month. We have no building to support. We pay rent to the HOA. It costs about $75 an hour to be here. We have office phones, supplies, equipment. We support ministries and missions across the world. We give close to 20% of what we take in to missions of one kind or another. We have four of them. We have a benevolence fund to help those in the community. And for the first time, can you imagine, we had given money to this person in our community, and the other day she presented a check back for the money we gave her to help her in a time of need. She said, and I said, you're the first person who's ever done that. She couldn't believe that. She couldn't believe that. We have worship and music ministry. We have music to buy, choir to keep happy. We have teaching ministries, Bible study. We have communication ministry, website, advertising the Eagle Bend News next door, and other ways to get our word out. How many people have heard of us through Eagle Bend News? Anybody has ever seen our ad in the Eagle Bend News? Yeah, sure. We have women's and men's ministry, year-round church activities, including the picnic and other events. Prayer ministry, pillow and banner ministry. Look at those banners. This is just a start. This was made by the ladies in the pillow ministry. It's fantastic. And then they're going to do a banner for Thanksgiving and one for Christmas. We can't wait to see those, that's for sure. We have the Altar Guild. That's a good Lutheran term. We have some Lutherans that work in the Altar Guild, making sure that everything is taken care of properly. Make sure our supplies are there. We have a care ministry that reaches out to people in need, meals and support and driving them to the doctor and whatever needs to be. And we have a staff of 6 people who receive compensation. Of course, God wants you to give 10% of your income to the church. I mean, that's in the Bible, but it's between you and God. I'm not going to be judging or anything. But you know, if you were a salesman and you had this income and you're able to keep 90% of it, what a great commission that would be, wouldn't it? Fantastic commission. But Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And what kind of a giver are you? Well, there were 2 men. They were shipwrecked on an island. One man was pacing back and forth because he said, I don't know what to do. I don't know if we're ever going to be saved. And the other guy was laying out there basking in the sun, just comfortable and happy, and with not a care in the world. The second man said, aren't you afraid you're going to die? No, no, I'm not afraid. I make $10,000 a week and I give 10% to the church. My pastor will find me. I guess I would. There was a man who went to his pastor with a problem. He said, "My pastor," he said, I can't afford to give a tithe anymore. I'm making $100,000 a week. Another guy, well, I wish we could find some of those around. I'm making $100,000 a week, and I can't afford to give $10,000 a week in my tithes. When I made $1,000 a week, I could give $100. It was easy. When I made $10,000 a week, giving $1,000 was easy. And the pastor said, I have just a solution for you. So the pastor went over to the altar and kneeled down and started to pray silently. So the pastor got up in a minute or so, and the man went over to him and said, well, what did you pray for? Well, it's pretty simple, the pastor said. I pray that your income would go down to $1,000 a week so you could pay $100. Pretty simple. Remember that this service, this sermon theme on tithing is about your heart and your love for the Lord. Nothing else. There's no judgment for anyone. There's no blame, no guilt. It's a very personal thing between you and your Lord and how you seek to serve this church. Where your heart is, there also is your treasure. And that is the heart of the matter. Where your heart is, there is your treasure. Let's pray. O Lord, deliver me from fear. Teach me to trust you. Do things I am not used to. Stretch me. Bring me to the place where I will trust you more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, after the Apostles' Creed, we're going to sing the theme song of the tithing sermon. And it is, I Surrender All. Let's confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died,
I would like to clarify that I picked the hymn. Bruce didn't ask me to pick this hymn. Just want to clear that up.
I thought he kind of ruined our surprise for what's next. Oh, it's in the bulletin. Okay. Well, please join me now as we sing I Surrender All.
Unlock the doors now. Nobody left. Wow. Paula did. Her phone rang. Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of us in remembrance of me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I have a footnote to add to Bruce's toddler's rules. We have a set of two-year-old twin great-grandchildren, and this past week they spent their first day in daycare. Well, a little girl at daycare happened to take the grandson's blanket. He took umbrage at that, and he bit her. So they wrote up an incident report on him. We didn't think it was all that bad unless he broke the skin, but it happens. We know they were true. All righty, let's prepare to leave this morning as you stand and we sing our final hymn. We are going to sing I Give All, or may I, excuse me, I'm on the wrong page. We're not going to sing that one. We're going to Make Me a Blessing this morning.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.